Hi, I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Coming up on the podcast, we've got an interview with not one, but two names that you've heard a lot in the credits for Adventures in Odyssey, Dave Arnold and Phil Lawler.
And we'll be talking not only to the names, but to the people behind those names, too. And what are we going to be talking to them about, Jess?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Bob, because it's time for the latest news. A brand new series of Adventures in Odyssey novels has begun. It's called Young Wit. The first one, Young Wit and the Traitor's Treasure, comes out next month.
That first book is set in North Carolina and begins not long after the Whitaker family moved to America. There's a friendly custodian, a school bully, a mysterious box, Confederate gold, all the kinds of things that make a great story.
And to find out more about these stories, let's talk to the authors, Phil Lawler and Dave Arnold.
Sounds great. Well, it's great to have Dave Arnold here in the studio with us, and by phone we have Phil Lawler. Guys, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Fun.
We are just delighted to be here.
Well, you know, Focus on the Family has published a number of Adventures in Odyssey book series through the years. The original novels, Passages, more than 20 Imagination Station books. So why did we decide now is the right time for Young Wit?
Well, the reason why is because we thought that they were really compelling stories.
Mm.
You know, John Avery Whitaker is our main character, and we have done stories on the program, on the audio series, about Young Wit and his life when he was young, and we thought that this would be a really good time to bring out, given the 30th anniversary just passed and everything, would be a good time to look back at Wit's life and see what he was like as a kid.
Yeah, we've talked about doing this off and on through the years, quite honestly, and for some reason it just never sort of clicked at the time, but there was synergy between Phil and I as we discussed the idea. What was it, like a year and a half ago, Phil?
And
it just really both energized us. And as we began to explore story arcs that we could deal with in this initial five-book series, we thought, oh, this could be an awful lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, like anything, like any sort of story we tell on Odyssey, there's always a right time for it. And we just thought this is the right time for this.
Yeah, and Phil, you started mapping out a Young Wit book series many years ago. Where were you headed with that series, and which elements have found their way into this current project?
Even though I say it was the 30th anniversary that kind of was the spur for this thing, I had always wanted to tell stories about Wit when he was a kid. In fact, I think the original pitch for that was he does so many things. Wit is so many things to so many people. He is obviously, again, our main character. But what was he like when he was a kid? How did Wit become Wit? What happened to him when he was young that made him this remarkable man that he has become? So I was thinking about that all the way through the history of Odyssey and all the way through the as we were writing episodes and doing other stuff for the program. But I think a lot of what I put in there at the very beginning has kind of still stayed with it, I think. Just the idea of the adventuresome young Wit and where he grew up and the time period in which he grew up plays an important part in the books that we've written. We wanted to highlight that, and we wanted to talk about all of these influences, both economic and cultural, and then, of course, family and spiritual influences that turned him into Wit, turned him into the Wit that we know today. And I think that there's going to be a few surprises for everybody when they read this.
Hmm, cool. Well, you know, unlike most of our books, Young Wit was developed and written by two authors, two Odyssey legends, really. So how did you decide to work together, and how do you maintain a cohesive vision for the characters and the storyline while each of you is writing independently?
We haven't figured that out
yet.
We
put on boxing gloves. We put on boxing gloves, and we duke it out. No, I'm kidding.
No, for me, and I'll speak to this real quick. We were talking about Young Wit, and I had done a club story on Wit's childhood, which was called The Journal of John Avery Whitaker. And that sort of spurred both in Phil and I to have a discussion about that and renewing the book series. And at the time, we thought, well, we kind of wanted to try doing it together because I think we had some sense of similar passion about where we wanted to go with it. And just the idea of iron sharpening iron and playing off of one another, to me, that felt like fun and still feels like fun. I'm working on the third book right now, and I think we're having a great time doing it together.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I think it's that, you know, tongue-in-cheek, I think, said, you know, talked about Odyssey Legends. I hope we're not that old. But on the other hand, Dave and I have been there from the beginning and been with Whit from the beginning, seen his development from the beginning. And I think that we certainly have a knowledge, maybe a knowledge base of Whit that others may not have. And we have a passion for Whit, you know, just his character and the idea of who he is that we really wanted to develop as well. And so as we were sitting around batting this idea around, talking, it was like, hey, you know what? We should write this together. This would be great because we can go back and forth. And Dave has certain sensibilities about Whit that I don't have, and I have certain sensibilities about Whit that he doesn't have. And to our surprise and great delight, we were meshing them really, really well. We send them back and forth to each other as we're developing them, and then just see where we can strengthen stuff and where we can, what maybe needs to be tweaked a little bit, or what's just so fantastic. Yeah, this is great. And it's a very exciting process. I've had a blast doing it. It's a very exciting process.
But we should say now, too, that on the very front end of this process, you and I sat down and started brainstorming ideas. And then we hit this one idea where, like, both of our eyes got really, really big. And we just said, this is going to be fun. And so once we landed on that big story arc idea, what we've done is just sit down together and brainstorm the way this is all going to play out over the next five books, individually parsing out story beats into each book. And then as the writer begins to work on each individual book, you started working primarily on book one and I was supplementing. I worked primarily on book two, you were supplementing. We're kind of going back and forth on that. But we've kind of figured out what the main story beats for the five books are. But for the individual book, there's an individual kind of set-aside story in there as well that gives us our own creative expression. So it's been a win-win on many regards, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was headed next. Phil, can you give us an idea of how those emotional beats are going to be playing out in the case of Young Whit?
Well, one of the things that we took a look at from the very beginning was, how do other successful book series play out? And we thought, what kind of a structure could we do with Young Whit so that we're not sending him too quickly through his childhood? We want to develop his childhood. And so one of the things that we came up with, just from a practical standpoint, one of the things we came up with for this first five books was to say, let's just take 1 year of his life. Let's just take one school year of his life and divide up these five books in that year. Play these five books out in that 1 year. And a lot of stuff happens to him in that 1 year. A whole bunch of stuff happens to him in that 1 year. And so we go back and forth through his history, his past, his family's past, and then on into the future as well, with the overall story arc that we have that plays out over all five books. And then each book in and of itself deals with a different aspect of his school year and has its own story. Some will deal with him in school, but some deal with him outside of school and either solving a mystery or going on a treasure hunt. You know, all of those types of things that you would expect from John Avery Whittaker.
One of the questions I have for you guys, I know that we have been somewhat loath to admit that we dated Whit in the past, that we kind of set him up because, you know, now everyone's trying to figure out exactly how old Whit is. When you're talking about his childhood and contextualizing it into a culture, how did you keep that in mind as you were deciding what you wanted to say about the world around him?
Well, we did do a timeline. We definitely did a timeline of the year Whit was born, what years he grew up, what year the initial stories are set in. And we, quite honestly, we had to stay true to what we had set up in the audio dramas in terms of his age. So we haven't soft-pedaled it. We may have found a way around it.
Okay.
This is one of the drawbacks of collaboration, to make sure that we're both on the same page all the time. And then also going back into Young Whit's family history, which is part of what happens in book one and part of what happens subsequently in several of the other books too. We want to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row, that we have all the dates right, that we can make sure that all of that stuff is going to line up properly. And we're trying our best to make sure that it does, it matches. But we ask for a bit of grace and mercy if we don't actually always hit the mark.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and you guys have worked together for so many years. So how is this collaboration different? And then when you look at that final product at the end of book one, how is that different than maybe an audio episode might be?
Well, in terms of the difference, Phil's not my boss, and I'm not his boss. We're working together. Which is fun. I mean, it really is nice to have that camaraderie because it frees you up, I think, in some ways to explore things that maybe if it's all landing on your shoulders, you might discard it because, I don't want to necessarily completely own it, but you've got somebody to at least, you know, toss it off of and get their reaction to. And so that's been helpful from my perspective. What do you think, Phil?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Again, be able to bounce ideas back and forth off of each other. And then just the way things are written. See, that's also a difficulty in collaboration because you want to make sure that it's all cohesive. But at the same time, you want to make sure that each of the partners, their styles come in. How do you blend those styles? So it really is a kind of a give and take. And hopefully you're really simpatico. You're on the same page most of the way through. You know, there are times when we'll disagree. We'll look at stuff and say, yeah, I don't know if that's important. Or maybe you should try saying it this way. No. I really want this passage to be read this way. And so we do. We still have our disagreements, but that's all part of the creative and collaborative process anyway.
You know, through the years, guys, we have heard several audio dramas about Whit as a child, including Great Expectations, Thank You God, No Friend Like an Old Friend. And of course, we've already talked about The Journal of John Avery Whitaker. Will any of these stories be incorporated into the book series?
Yeah, in fact, in this first 5-book series, and I'm saying first because I'm hoping they renew it, in this first 5-book series, we definitely will. I mean, it's set during the period of Thank You God, for example, because in books 1 and 2, I haven't gotten to that point yet in book 3, John Avery Whitaker is not yet a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That's something important to kind of keep in the back of your mind. We wanted to go back far enough that we could see the transformation that took place with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something we all experience as Christians, right? And if we soft pedal at that and we don't show that for our main character, I think we've missed a great opportunity. So yes, these first 5 books play out during that period of Thank You God, and we'll definitely see that. Downstream, when these other ones, including like Blackbeard's Treasure and some of those stories came along, we'd have to incorporate them if they fit the timeline, absolutely.
That's one surprise right there. That's great to hear Whit's spiritual journey. What's another surprise that readers will have when they get their hands on these books?
Well, if we told you, it wouldn't be a surprise.
Well, I guess that's true.
Surprise! We're not going to tell you.
Well, okay, all
right.
Let's
put it this way. There is one big thing that's going to happen in these books, that we're playing out in these books, that should be a jaw-dropper.
Mm.
Let's just put it that way.
Nice. Good tease. Yeah.
Don't want to say anything else, but let's put it that way.
Okay.
Phil, is it true that there is a link between this Young Whit series and the Blackguard Chronicles, which is something that you've been writing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
All right. No spoilers, but can you give us any kind of a hint?
No, not really.
Not
without giving too much away, probably.
Yeah, let's just say that Blackguard entered into the Whit story a lot earlier than people think he did.
You got me hooked.
That's right.
Oh, good. At least we got one person that'll read the book.
You know, we may have some listeners who are interested in writing their own novels, or at least they have a creative writing assignment at school and they need some practical help. So what advice can you share that will help them write better stories?
Well, conflict is the essence of drama. You can't really have a great dramatic story without putting some sort of conflict in it. So you need to make sure that your character is a well-rounded character. You give them strengths and him or her strengths and weaknesses, and then you give them a dramatic need. That's what your story is about. You're putting your character in a situation where they have a dramatic need. They have something that they have to go after. Whatever it is, they're going after. They're going for it. And then the idea behind that is, okay, great. You've got your dramatic need. You've got your character. Now they're going for it. What obstacles can you put in their path? That's what makes for the interesting stories. What obstacles can you set up that they have to overcome in order to achieve and fulfill their dramatic need? And you may find out with your character as you're going through that their dramatic need will change because of the obstacles they have to overcome. That's perfectly fine. Keep going, though. Keep a dramatic need in front of them and keep them pursuing it and set up obstacles. You don't make it easy for your character. You keep making it more difficult because that's where the good storytelling lies and that's what brings out good drama. Now, let's just get a little more practical. There may be folks out there who are listening to this who are like, I don't really want to be a writer, but I do have schoolwork that I have to do. And I know I have to get an assignment done, and it may be a story or it may be a report, it may be something else, but I know I'm going to have to do some writing this year in school. Well, for those of you who really don't like writing, here's a couple of thoughts for you. The key is to keep on plotting. Do a little bit every day. Keep on doing it every day, every day, every day. If you have a paper that you know you're going to have to write, a report or a story that you know is due by the end of the week, get started on it right now. Do a little bit at a time. Do a little bit more the next day, a little bit more the next day, a little bit more the next day, and before you know it, you're done. Don't be afraid to go back and revise all of the stuff that you did earlier. You're going to have to do that. That's all part of the writing process. That's all part of whether you're writing reports or stories. You're going to have to go back and revise it. But get a little bit done every day. Get a little bit done every day. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And pretty soon, before you know it, everything is finished.
That's excellent advice, Phil. And it's
writing it all down right now.
That's right. And you know what, it's
maybe
been
helping me with my next book.
and it's been excellent to have both you and Dave on the show. So thanks so much for joining us on the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys. And you know what? I don't think there's any overstatement when Jesse called you guys legends. I think you need to start worrying when we call you fossils. We always love talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you guys very much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
You can get a copy of Young Wit and the Trader's Treasure, Book 1 of the Young Wit series today at witsend.org. or at your local Christian bookstore starting next month.
The book includes a preview of Book 2 titled Young Wit and the Shroud of Secrecy, which is coming next year. Don't miss it.
And speaking of coming soon, what's coming up on the club next month, Bob?
An episode titled The Last Straw. Let's hear a preview.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Connie's radio guest is less than talkative.
Okay, welcome, Red.
Hello.
So she decides to ad lib.
Have you ever heard that name? Chlorosin? Man, my breath smells terrible. I better gargle with some chlorosin.
But then she gets a call.
What's your name?
Chlorosin. Uh-oh. Listen this month only on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
You can hear that episode starting September 1st in the club. And if you're getting eager to hear Album 65, Expect the Unexpected, you can listen to all 6 episodes in the club right now.
We'll be talking more about Album 65 in the days ahead. But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. You can find out more about Young Wit on our website, witsend.org/podcast.
You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Hey, what's up? This is Sadie Robertson. Sign up to join thousands of students who are participating in Bring Your Bible to School Day on October 4th. When you do, you'll have a chance to win a trip to meet me in person. So learn more at bringyourbible.org.